This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The situation in Hawaii is now being described as apocalyptic as people on the island of Maui try to escape several fast-moving wildfires. Alan Dicker lives in Lahaina.
Quite a few houses burned. I own several houses, and I know that one of them caught fire. I am still trying to track down all my tenants to make sure that everybody's safe.
But communications are down, roads are blocked, and these fires are moving fast.
There have been individuals who experienced concern about their safety due to the smoke and fire and decided to jump into the shoreline waters of the ocean.
County spokeswoman Mahina Martin says people with severe burn injuries are being airlifted now to Honolulu. Haitian kidnappers have finally freed an American nurse and her child. Here's CBS's Kimmy McCormick.
Alex Dorsonville and her child were kidnapped late last month. She's a nurse from New Hampshire who works for a Christian aid organization. Her captors had demanded $1 million in ransom for their release. Gang violence has grown so bad in Haiti that the U.S. embassy closed Tuesday.
A memo that's been uncovered from a lawyer allied with former President Trump apparently lays out a strategy to overturn the 2020 election. CBS's Robert Costa.
It, in essence, sketches out a plot to encourage Trump supporters in key battleground states to organize as false electors. This is a winding scheme that was put into place by Trump and his allies to try to keep him in power by putting forward alternative slates of electors from various states.
The lawyer said it'd probably get struck down by the Supreme Court, but push for it anyways. California Senator Dianne Feinstein's office says she is back home now after a fall at home landed her in the hospital. They say it was a minor fall, so she didn't stay long, but the Democrat is 90 years old, so they got her checked out as a precaution. 10,000 steps is still the gold standard, but a new study shows it doesn't have to be. Here's CBS's Michael George.
A study published by the European Society of Cardiology found walking around 4,000 steps a day is enough to reduce the risk of death. And you only need about 2,300 steps a day to reduce your chance of dying from heart disease.
And the more steps, the better. Looks like a pop star is headed to court after all. CBS's Jen Clark.
A federal judge has ruled that a lawsuit against singer Dua Lipa and two of her songwriters can go forward, alleging that they ripped off the song Levitating from a 1979 disco tune. It's called Wiggle and Giggle All Night, and the judge said that the plaintiffs did prove that the songs are strikingly similar, even though the defendants tried to get the case dismissed.
It's her third copyright lawsuit. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
If this were...
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A free speech expert has some issues with Boston's new rules for public comments at meetings. A new rule forbids attacks on people, groups, or organizations. Boston leaders say it's to prevent disorderly conduct at meetings. But a political scientist at UW-Madison tells Channel 8 in La Crosse that it sounds like it could be an unconstitutional infringement on freedom of speech. Wisconsin wildlife officials are reminding people to be careful when swimming or boating. At least 9 people have died in Wisconsin lakes and rivers, including no fewer than 5 last weekend. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says wear a life jacket whenever you're on a boat. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's so hot. Wait.
Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and a lot of it was made. A lot of it was made in the last 24 hours. We're going to start out with Ohio, the state of Ohio. State of Ohio, the voters rejected an initiative put out by the right wing of the Republican Party, by the Freedom Caucus types, that would have changed the law in Ohio to require a 60% vote for any constitutional amendment. And by a margin of 57 to 43 against, because this thing only required a majority to go one way or the other, not 60%. 57% of the voters in Ohio said, no way, baloney, get out of here. 43% were for it. Let me give you the background. Some people say that this is an abortion rights issue, and it is, but it's more important than that. It's a voting rights issue. And here's the background. The Ohio legislature is gerrymandered, but it's gerrymandered in a very odd way, because the Ohio Supreme Court ruled in an opinion that it had to redraw its lines because it was illegally gerrymandered. And you know what the legislature did, the Republicans? They said to their Supreme Court, drop dead, and they flipped them the bird, and they didn't do anything. The Supreme Court does not have an army, does not have a police force. The Ohio legislature is in contempt. But as I go forward with this issue, remember one thing. When the U.S. Supreme Court, when it overturned Roe v. Wade, when it does some of this stuff, it always says, well, we're just leaving it to the states. We're just leaving it to the states. That was disingenuous and false of them, because they know that what they're leaving it to are gerrymandered legislatures who disobey their own Supreme Courts. They were leaving it to the right wing of the Republican Party is what they were doing. But in Ohio, there are 88 counties, and the law previously had been that if there's going to be a constitutional amendment, you have to jump through some hoops to put it on the ballot. But if more than 50% of people vote for it, becomes an amendment, you have to have signatures from 44 of the 88 counties, half of them. And there's a 10-day cure period where you look over the signatures. And if somebody, say, put their street address or their street, but not the number of the address, or, you know, one of these kinds of people, or just put the town, it didn't say Ohio, or put an abbreviation or something like that. You have 10 days to go back to them, have them fill in the complete info, which is always a ministerial thing, always sort of a clerical type thing. What this would have said is this initiative put on by the right wing of the Republican Party, you have to have signatures in all 88 counties. There's no 10-day cure period. We're going to go over these signatures in anything that looks out of line. We're not going to permit, and it is not going to pass unless there is 60% of the vote. Getting 60% of the vote for anything is very, very difficult. That's a 20-point spread, 60-40, very, very difficult. So the Republican Party put this out. And the Democratic Party pointed out some of the obvious. First of all, the Republican Party, this is gerrymandered as a Republican governor, has put in one of the most restrictive abortion laws in the country. And they do not want any constitutional amendment, as for instance happened in Kansas, which is also a Republican state, but that anybody is by constitutional amendment, which trumps the legislation, going to put in anything like, say, enshrining Roe v. Wade, for instance, in the Ohio Constitution. But when this got around the state, even though the state frequently votes Republican, in other words, more than 50% or certainly more than a plurality of the voters in Ohio vote Republican, one of the shining exceptions, and good for him, is Sherrod Brown, a great senator. But the Republicans couldn't stomach this thing. So 57% of the voters in Ohio said baloney and rejected it. So now the constitutional amendment can pass with anything over 50%. There's still a 10-day cure period for ministerial clerical errors on signatures, and it still only takes signatures from 44 of the 88 counties. One of the things underlying this also is that this is a 100-year-old tradition, more than 100 years in Ohio. It goes back before 1923. This is how they've done it. And sometimes constitutional amendments have worked, and sometimes they haven't worked. But this is part of a pattern and practice of the Republican Party around the country. They did it in Missouri. They're doing it elsewhere. And they're passing very, very restrictive, laws on voting, on access to abortion, even if the life of the mother is at stake, even if the health of the mother is at stake. And then they're saying you need a supermajority, a really big majority, to change that in the Constitution. And you can't change the legislature because it's gerrymandered. And the U.S. Supreme Court struck down most of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. And then most recently in Shelby County versus Alabama, I think it was 2013. After the U.S. Senate, 95-0, had extended all of the Voting Rights Act to the year 2031. And the tarantulas on the Supreme Court, the clowns, 5-4, with the crookedest clown, Clarence Thomas, who's on the take, 5-4, said they're more powerful than the U.S. Senate, even when it speaks 95-0. The heck with you. And they threw out the guts of the Voting Rights Act. Now, you can see when I say in the past, I've said, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. Well, fascism is no longer creeping. It's no longer on little cat's feet. It's here. It's in the room. It's in the government. And the cat has grown. When you have a crooked Supreme Court that's on the take, some of them on the take, taking money, and by 5-4 with Clarence Thomas as the swing vote, they pass Citizens United. They passed Dobbs, getting rid of Roe v. Wade, 5-4. And they passed Shelby County, getting rid of most of the Voting Rights Act. You have a branch of government that says that it is beyond control. They say that they can overrule what the Senate or the House does. They can overrule what the president does. But nobody can overrule them. Nobody can even require them to adopt an ethics rule. And, you know, bribery is a violation of the criminal law. It's not just an ethics rule. The Senate is so weak and chicken. None of them stand up to Tommy Tuberville, who is demoralizing our military and for 8 months hasn't permitted promotions. He's for Putin. He came out with a statement the other day that Ukraine is no good. Putin's going to win. We should be with him. White supremacist from Alabama sends chicken to take him on. Sends chicken to take on the U.S. Supreme Court. They go, we think you should have an ethics code. Supreme Court said, drop dead. Oh, okay. Okay. The white supremacist Tuberville says, drop dead. Okay. And demoralize our military. You're going to have a bribed Supreme Court justice. Roe v. Wade is thrown out. Citizens United is passed. Voting Rights Act. Okay, what the hell? Not a single one of them is doing anything about it to change the rules in the Senate. I will say this. Merrick Garland, in my judgment, could charge Clarence Thomas with bribery. New York Times just came out the other day, mentioned it yesterday. Somebody bought him, a big shot guy with a lot of money, $269,000 RV to travel around the country. Clarence kept boasting, Ginny and I are just plain folks. We don't stay in fancy hotels, which is false. He did up in Alaska and with some of his others. But we go from town to town, just plain folks. And we saved up for this RV. That was all BS. He didn't save anything for the RV. His executive bought it for him. Gorsuch made 500 grand on a crummy fishing cabin and not in a fancy part of Colorado. You may say, oh, well, you know, it was in Vail or Aspen. No, it wasn't. It was some shack just like you'd have in northern Wisconsin. And to not be able to sell it for years, the minute you're on the Supreme Court, the head of one of the largest law firms in the country comes in and he makes 500 grand. John Roberts' wife gets $10 million and he has it down as salary. It wasn't salary. It's commission for calling up law firms and telling them to hire good law students. You know, I got news for you. The Senate is unwilling to control the Supreme Court. The Congress is crooked as well. The Senate is the Republican caucus. They are, frankly, pro-Putin. They are pro all of this stuff. And the Democrats in the majority won't get rid of the one white supremacist can shut down our military rule. And they won't get rid of the filibuster. And nobody does anything. I think, what are we, the only show that even talks like this? This is quite disgusting. Quite disgusting. Anyway, good for Ohio. But remember, their legislature said drop dead to their own Supreme Court. And we're going to follow this going forward. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people.
It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Megan Hatton. Building clouds and summer-like conditions expected for Wednesday. Scattered showers and thunderstorms, the high 84. A few storms this evening and overnight, then a clearing trend toward daybreak, low 58. More sunshine with a humidity drop Thursday, high 80. Currently, it's 82.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Joe, what's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt, I don't want to stray too far from Ohio, but just a quick response to a caller from yesterday, and it just got me thinking, and I thought you might be interested in how this turned around for me. Caller Dave yesterday was talking about a recent news story. Russian and Chinese ships were sighted in territorial waters very, very close to the Aleutian Islands, but still in territorial international waters. So our U.S. military was following them, and then they turned around and went back home after their joint operation. And he expressed concern that this might be a problem in terms of any actions of these two countries gathering steam and going into Alaska. And it really drove you nuts that he said that. And so it just made me think, because Dave is thoughtful in a lot of things, and I wanted to go back and look at what he had to say. So I just wanted to let people know that I did a look on this, and there are 9 different military installations within Alaska. There are 3 from the Air Force, 3 from the Coast Guard, and 3 from the Army. There is not a naval base there, and some have talked about getting one, what with the Arctic changing and becoming more open through more of the year. However, what is interesting about it is if you look on a map, this one guy from was saying that the western side of Alaska, there are no roads. And I thought, are you kidding me? And it's true. If you look, it's like 500 miles in from the western coast. There are no roads. So how do you make the invasion happen? How do you make it happen if you go down to the Aleutian Islands and jump into Juneau, their capital, which is an island city? People get in and out of that by car ferry or by plane. So it's a massive task to be thinking about invading Alaska. And then I was realizing, for what purpose you would go through all this money and all this time when, frankly, and this is what I think the Russians have done, why bother invading the state when you can buy the president of the whole country, which is what I believe they did. You know, when the 17 intel agencies were saying that Russia interfered with our election, and Trump's response is, I believe Putin, because Putin said right. He didn't. When you have McCarthy and Ryan talking to each other in that famous Washington Post article where McCarthy said, I think there are 2 people that Putin pays. I think it's Trump and Rohrabacher. And Ryan's response is, keep it in the family, and laughing and smiling. Instead of going to the FBI, he instead says, keep it in the family. So I think it's a look at it made me just realize that why bother going through invading when you can affect the elections, when you can buy the candidates, and seemingly the Republican Party doesn't have much of a problem with that. So that was my 2 cents. And I thank you for the show, and thank you for the callers. It's always interesting.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Your calls are always great. That one had a lot in it that I want to unpack. It's very, very important. Number one, Of course, there are bases up there. Number two, the Navy had four naval ships tailing the Chinese and the Russians. Why is that? Because the Third Fleet is assigned to protect our entire western part of the United States, and that includes Alaska. Our Navy sails all the way up and down that coast. Number four, I once really enjoyed myself. I went up with some buddies, former U.S. attorneys, and we went fishing for halibut off the Kenai Peninsula. And one of the things that struck, two things struck me about Alaska. One of them is, and you're not going to believe this, but there are still buildings, and I saw them, in churches that have Russian lettering on them. Russia owned Alaska until the 1860s. And remember Seward's Folly? Lincoln's Secretary of State said to the Russians, you know, I think I'll, why don't I buy, we'll give you $7 million, which back then was a lot of money. And Russia sold it. It wishes it had not, believe me. So, yeah, they're not going to invade Alaska. They're doing that to sort of rattle our chain, number one. Number two, you are right that most of Alaska doesn't have roads. People, the average person up there flies. I was talking to somebody, I said, well, how do you get up to Nome and to Juneau and this, that? I fly. Well, do you own a plane? No. Would you go down and you rent one and fly in a small plane? Number three, Alaska has great natural resources, but any suggestion of incursion on U.S. waters there would result in really severe military response to Russia and to China, and they know it. And one of the problems is you take a look at the Aleutian Islands. Siberia is not that far away. How do you think what we call Indians, indigenous people, got here? Some say 12, 15,000 years ago, some say 25. They walked across because back then it wasn't underwater. And so it's all very, very interesting, but you hit the nail on the head that the Russians bought Donald Trump. You are absolutely right about your recollection that McCarthy said to Ryan, Paul Ryan, our Paul Ryan, I think the Russians are paying Donald Trump, and I think the Russians are paying Rohrabacher, Dana Rohrabacher out of California. And Ryan giggled and said, keep it quiet. Rohrabacher was beaten for re-election. Going quick to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend, a little time before the break. What's in your mind today, Bill?
The Aleutian Islands really strikes home with me because my dad, during World War II, as a lieutenant, served on the island of Attu, which is the last island out on that chain. And I just remember him relating, you know, his experience there. But to cut to the thing, we know that Scott Walker took money from the Russians. Ron Johnson's taken money from the Russians. But let's circle back on China, if you don't mind. Now, this is a little bit off topic, but what you were talking about in the beginning. China, the last thing China ever wants is a war. Because Everything in their country is based on economy, economy, economy. A friend of mine who's in charge of all the missions in China, the biggest thing China's afraid of is Christianity, and it's growing at a rapid rate over there, and they're checked on constantly. They know, the Chinese know.
Bill, stay on the line. I got to go to a – Bill, stay on the line, and we'll get back to you right after the break. I got to go to a break, but I want you to stay on the line. The lines are open, 844-967-2789, going to a quick break.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. People are jumping into the ocean now to avoid flames from dangerous wildfires burning all over Maui. County spokesperson Mahina Martin.
We have opened multiple emergency shelters throughout the island to assist our residents. At this time, both fire areas are active. Our crews, it's all hands on deck.
The fires are being fueled by winds from Hurricane Dora offshore. An American nurse and her child have been released by gangs in Haiti after kidnapping her last month. CBS's Kimmy McCormick.
Haiti has been rocked by gang violence, and the UN is considering a potential deployment of an international armed force.
Someone's walking around Neptune Beach, Florida today, a billionaire after winning that $1.5 billion Mega Millions jackpot. The ticket was sold at a Publix grocery store.
Everybody swarms here now. They're like, oh, that's a lucky Publix. I hope these guys get some money out of it.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A teenage murder defendant in Chippewa Falls will find out in January whether he'll be tried as a child or as an adult. A reverse waiver hearing that started Monday finished late this morning. The boy is accused of killing 10-year-old Lily Peters last year. He's now 15 years old. The prosecution and the defense will make written statements to Judge Stephen Gibbs. Those are due in November. A free speech expert has some problems with Mauston's new rules for public comments at meetings. A new rule forbids attacks on people, groups, or organizations. Mauston leaders say it's to prevent disorderly conduct at meetings, but a political scientist at UW-Madison tells Channel 8 in La Crosse sounds like it could be an unconstitutional infringement on freedom of speech. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful. Wow. I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right back to the lines. We're going right back to Bill of Oconomowoc. Thanks for holding on, Bill. I'm interested in what you were saying about China. So let's talk a little more about that. What's in your mind?
Okay, on China, you know, Fox sells one thing, fear, period, fear. And they're scared to death of China, some of the people that don't bother to pick up a book or read or talk to people. But China, really, the way the U.S. can handle China, and U.S. at times is very good at this, economically, we can manipulate them. Now, that's a threat to them because they cherish their economy. If you've ever been to China or see where that country is, it is not a third world country. No, it's flourishing. Their economy is flourishing. So if we remember, keep that in focus, their economy. And then number two, I run these leadership groups, and it's all Christian leadership. Well, I just shared a few minutes ago, John Pelling, who heads up the delegation of missionaries in China, he said they're terrified of Christianity. It will destroy them from within.
Right.
And guess what? The more they suppress it, the stronger it gets. It is really growing. It's so bad that I've had people tell me they'll knock on your door every week or so and check on you. They want to know what you're doing. Can you imagine living with that kind of control on the country where you're hooked to the economy and then Christianity is coming in the back door and destroying you? Let's forget and let's remember that China is not a threat. I just want to touch on one more thing. I am so sick and tired of the far right in Wisconsin, specifically Robin Voss and Russian Ron and all those guys. Why don't we start treating them like spoiled children? Because that's what they are. They're spoiled little children. Now, when you deal with children, you treat them in a whole different environment than you do adults. They are no longer adults. They're children. I sat down the other night and I said, boy, if I was in Madison, I think we can actually teach them a lesson. If you decide to gavel in and gavel out, then you therefore say you're done working. And if you're done working, well, maybe we just have to withhold paychecks till you're back to work. We don't have to do it. We just have to talk about it. That's all we got to do, because they're spoiled little children that, you know, they want their way. They throw a fit. Then they say they're not. Oh, my gosh. When will America wake up and quit putting up with spoiled adults in positions of authority that they don't belong? Thank you.
Great call, as always, Bill. Great call, and thank you. I'm going to take you in order. Do not hang up. The next one in order is John of La Crosse. Thanks for calling, John. What's your mind today?
I'm hearing echoes of the rules for radicals from your program and your callers today. It's really, really interesting and consistent. You guys project all the time. We have a $3.5 million payment from the former mayor of Moscow to Hunter Biden's outfit.
And you that's false. John, I like Republicans calling in, but I like them when they have factual information, not making stuff up. And the money that's been talked about before, remember Maria Butina, the Russian spy in the picture with Scott Walker? And you remember Russian Ron Johnson going to Moscow, Russia, with the oligarchs on July 4th, 2018? Remember that? And you remember that the Russians have been subsidizing Trump for at least 20 years. Eric Trump, his son, told a reporter that, said the New York banks don't give us any money anymore because we went bankrupt a few times in our casinos. So we get our money from Russia. He said it. So let's make this clear. I like calls from Republicans. I like calls from responsible Republicans. And I happen to think we need a center-right party that's committed to democracy. We can't just have one party committed to democracy. But I don't like people calling in and saying stuff that isn't true. Kurt and Madison, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Kurt?
Hi. You know, I have complete confidence in our military to handle situations in Alaska. I was stationed at Fort Wainwright in Fairbanks from 83 to 86. And when Russia shot down that airliner, I guarantee you, all of us were scrambled instantly. And it didn't take long to have all your gear in a CH-47 and in a couple hours be on the coast of Alaska, on the western coast. So I think that this ship posturing stuff is two reasons. One is they see us vulnerable because Trump is upset the democracy factor, and they're going to do everything they can to make Biden look weak or vulnerable or incapable of making decisions. But I can tell you firsthand, I don't have any wavering trust in the men and women up there to respond quickly, accurately, and with more professionalism than any other military force in the world.
That's an excellent call, Kurt. Thank you. And it's really great to have one of our callers, who is stationed in an area and had actual. And I know what you mean about response. And I think if you're talking about the 80s, there was that plane, and I think there was a Georgia congressman, U.S. congressman on the plane, who was shot down. The Ruskies shot it down. It was flying into Korea, and apparently it strayed very briefly into Russian airspace, and they just shot a commercial airliner down. what they're supposed to do, if you have something like that, a commercial airliner, you warn the guy. They shot him down. Well, Kurt is saying he was up there, I think he said in Fairbanks, and they hustled and put their gear in a in an Air Force cargo plane. And that's exactly right. And the Navy's there, too, with the Third Fleet. And the Ruskies are not going to invade Alaska. But I think his insight is exactly correct, that because Trump has done so much to attack our democracy, so much to say that he trusts Putin, so much, for instance, he says, listen, Putin is a genius. This is the word he used. For a couple of bucks in sanctions, he gets all that real estate. He said he'd pull us out of NATO. Remember this, all of you out there who are Republicans, I respect that. I respect Republicans who have a different point of view on taxes, immigration, and anything else. But we cannot have a president who's going to pull us out of NATO. We cannot have a president who supports somebody like Tommy Tuberville, who won't let our generals and admirals get promoted, and some of them are leaving the service. The Army and the Marines right now don't have a commanding general who is confirmed by the Senate. And in the Alabama rally that Trump held the other day, Tommy Tuberville was one of the guys that he had his arm around. We can't have people who are anti-military. It's as simple as that. And thank you. Thank you very much for a great call. Kurt, Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next. What's on your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, if you want to see a good history on Russia's involvement in Alaska, James Michener's book, Alaska, it's historical fiction, but it actually gives some real history about the Russians' involvement in Alaska and how brutal they were to the natives that lived there, because they're making a lot of money off of the fisheries there, and also the sea otter harvest and the sea mammal harvest in Alaska, because they came across from Siberia, of course. And thanks for pointing out that these lies come out so fast on Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and all this is that, what was the old thing, a lie goes around the world five times before the truth gets a chance to get its pants on, that or something along those lines, because these things out on the internet now, people can drive it down a rabbit hole so quickly that they don't have a chance to catch up to see if it's actually true or not. But what you pointed out is true. I mean, Scott Walker was, we don't know what was going on between him and Maria Butina. But we know that Ron Johnson was in Russia. That shows my age, seeing the Soviet Union. But Ron Johnson was over in Russia on the 4th of July. And Vladimir Putin wants to take Russia back to the days of the Soviet Union because he was KGB and misses it. I mean, that these people are pro-Russian, yeah, as you point out. So right. They're pro-Russian.
Right.
And they won't abandon that.
Right. And Mark, great call, as always. Thank you very, very much. But I go to another segment right now. Some breaking news, literally breaking news. One of the New York Times yesterday, but one a few hours ago. And I want to lay it out. First of all, it just broke a couple of hours ago that Jack Smith, good for him, went in for a search warrant directed to Twitter to get all of Donald Trump's tweets, all of his Twitter stuff. Remember, he was thrown off and then he hasn't gone back on recently. But a lot of the incriminating things, what he was looking for was whether some of the things that Trump had already produced had been altered. And he was looking for, and in his affidavit said, evidence of criminality, we have reason to believe there is. The fascinating thing, the judge's decision, this all just came out, I think, this morning. The judge's decision was they discussed whether or not to notify Trump of this. Now, remember something. When a prosecutor goes in for a search warrant, he does not notify the object of the search warrant, because frequently the guy will run away, destroy evidence, all this sort of stuff. And the judge doesn't disclose it either. But there was a discussion just between them, should we notify Trump? And the judge said, and this is part of his order, no, there is a risk that Trump will destroy evidence, contact other suspects, and possibly leave the country to avoid prosecution. Now, this is in January. He announced for president in November. But they looked on Trump. This is a federal judge. They looked on Trump as the kind of criminal suspect who, if notified of the search warrant, would commit further criminal conduct. The second thing that broke was the campaign memo in the Trump campaign by Chesbro. Chesbro is unindicted co-conspirator number 5 in Jack Smith's indictment against Trump. Chesbro, in this, and we suspected this, but he put it out in plain English. What he said is, and he described the architected the whole plan. He said, we are going to have fake electors. We're going to have Trump. We're going to have Pence recognize them. We'll throw it to the states. But then he said, the Supreme Court will certainly overturn this. This has no precedent. But the benefit to us is it will sow confusion. It will impress on people that we are saying that there is fraud. And it will delay the inauguration beyond January 20. And when the state legislators have to decide this, we can reinstall Donald Trump in the presidency. I've never even heard of a mafia conspiracy, a drug cartel conspiracy, an ISIS jihadist conspiracy, where somebody puts it out in the planning memo and says it's illegal. He says it. He says this has no basis in law and the Supreme Court will overturn it. But by the time they get to it, we'll have delayed, gotten beyond January 20. And then with Pence doing this, this will go back to the states and they're less likely to overturn one of these gerrymandered legislatures saying, oh, I get it. Yeah, our electors are Trump elect. In other words, Voss upholding the fake electors in Ron Johnson's pocket. This is a memo. It's a memo. And it just came out. And the Twitter subpoena just came out. I think, quite frankly, that after this, these other unindicted co-conspirators are going to get indicted. Down in Georgia, a development, Fannie Willis is submitting all of her evidence to the grand jury next week. And the inside baseball on this is that an indictment will be issued next week. And it will be against Trump. It'll be against Giuliani. And it'll be against a lot of other people, including Georgia state fake electors. And I'm going to leave it with this on this segment. How about Wisconsin? We have fake electors here. We have Voss and Fitzgerald setting up the room for the meet-in. And we have Ron Johnson walking around with the list in his pocket from Michigan. And according to paragraph 101, Wisconsin, too. Why is Fannie Willis the only one prosecuting, along with the AG from Michigan? Let's back up Jack Smith. This is illegal. If they get away with it, they'll do it again. Going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've all felt left out.
And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated storms this evening, partly cloudy and a low in the upper 50s overnight. Sunshine, nice, and low 80s tomorrow. Another chance of rain tomorrow night and Friday. High warms up into the low 80s again Friday afternoon. Saturday, sunshine and low 80s. Another chance of rain and upper 70s Sunday. Right now it's 80.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Directs. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind, Gene?
Hi, thank you so much for the great show as usual and really wonderful callers. You know, Matt, when this is all, first of all, they got a tactic that they always use is delay, 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 you know, and they make up stories and fraud and that type. But anyway, I wanted to say I hope that when this is over that you will write a book and, you know, history in the making, a story of woke. I hope you will write us a book that will all the young people of America will be able to read, because you've been right on top of everything, putting the pieces together. And when the world and our country and the world see all the pieces come together, you know, we'll have democracy again. Thank you so much, Matt, for all that you do. It's outstanding. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Gene. And no, that's intriguing. I will make a preliminary announcement. I do have another book coming out. I'm not going to give the title. It's going to surprise a lot of people, and you may enjoy it. And it's probably going to, it'll very likely come out later this month. So when it does come out, I will announce it and let you know. Gene, I do have two other books already published. They're novels, but they have a lot of history in them and a lot of action in them. And I'm going to give you the titles right now. One of them is called China Code, China Code, C-O-D-E. If you want, are interested in a novel that's premised on a communist Chinese assassination team coming to the United States to kill a young math genius with a lot of history in it about China and everything else, you'll enjoy China Code. If you're going to the beach, you'll enjoy China Code. And the other one is Milwaukee Jihad, J-I-H-A-D. I've alluded to that from time to time. And in that, ISIS comes to the United States, and they're going to blow up the Capitol during the State of the Union speech. And there is a woman who's a CIA agent, and she's assigned to protect the encryption expert who busted their code. And she, let's put it this way, she takes care of business. She really takes care of business. So those are two, they're novels, but they're very fast reads and they're action-packed, and you might enjoy them. China Code and Milwaukee Jihad by Matthew Flynn, available on Amazon, wherever. But my next book coming out this August, this month, will surprise you, and I think you'll find it very, very interesting. But I appreciate, Gene, you're a good friend, a good caller. I appreciate the vote of confidence on a book about woke. Basically, the book would be, you're not woke if you don't know history. The historical premises to a lot of what's going on, the bases and the antecedents, are very, very important. And we should never forget two things. History is made every second of every day, whether you're asleep or awake or paying attention or not. You are living through one of the most deeply historic points of the entire American experience with Donald Trump, what he's doing. Our democracy is under attack. It's been under attack three other times. It was under attack by the Nazis and the Japanese in 1941. Franklin Roosevelt took care of business. It was under attack in 1861. Abraham Lincoln took care of business. And it was under attack in 1776. and George Washington took care of business. So we will take care of it again. Joe Biden is a good man, a good president. Donald Trump is a Russian agent who absolutely does not care about the United States, and he has sucked in the Republican Party. It's not the party I remember going back to Eisenhower, you know, going back in this state to Lee Dreyfus, Tommy Thompson, even going back to Ronald Reagan. None of those people would get nominated today. This isn't the Republican Party. This is a fascist party, a cult party of Trump that stole the name Republican and didn't pay for it, didn't have permission to use it. And there are plenty of good Republicans. There's Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger. There are all of the Republicans who stood up to Trump in the Justice Department and wouldn't let him pull off the Green Bay sweep. The Chesbrough memo would not let him do that. So thanks a lot, Gene, for calling, as always. Let's talk about something local in Wisconsin. I've told you how the Republicans in the legislature, the state Senate, are trying to get rid of Megan Wolf. She is the executive director of the Wisconsin Election Commission. She's terrific, gives honest opinions. Everybody on that commission, all six of them, said she has integrity and she's great. What's happening is LeMahieu and the Republicans are going to get rid of her and put in a Gableman type. Not Gableman, because at some point, you know, he comes lumbering in out of the coal and people, oh, my God, who is that? It'll be somebody like him who's a little smoother. And you know what the object is? To cut down the vote in Dane County, Milwaukee. And how are they going to do that? By especially students. Students saying you can't use student IDs. You got to go home back to Ladysmith or Nina or your parents' place and blah, blah, blah. And that's what they're going to do. And the new Gableman type will say that the Wisconsin Election Commission will go 3-3 trying to block them because of three Republicans and three Democrats. And Evers doesn't get to veto it. They're trying to cut down the vote by about 4%, which they've done in Texas and they've done in Georgia by criminalizing voting. Well, now it turns out that Megan Wolf has another adversary, not just LeMahieu. A guy named Peter Bernager, I don't know if you remember him. He's the election denier, and he was involved in the Gableman fiasco. He is a very, very dangerous denier. Why do I say that? Because now the state suspects that he is stalking Megan Wolf. That just came out. And he has been notified that what he is doing with her is causing alarm. We do not need Peter Bernager in this state. We do not need him stalking Megan Wolf. And the pathetic thing about this is, have you heard anybody? Have you heard Voss or Ron Johnson or LeMahieu or any Republican saying, don't stalk this woman? Have you heard that? Have you heard that? If there was a Democrat stalking somebody, you'd hear it from me at the top of the hour. What is the matter with these people? They won't stand up for a woman who's being stalked, and we're not putting up with it. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show, as always. Great callers, as always. Great callers. Callers make the show. Stand by for another great show. Stand by for Devil's Advocate with Diamond Crute. Great show. Matt Flynn Direct, signing off for today. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow.
Great.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us. Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.